My friends, I speak to you in the name of God, world maker, pain bearer, and companion on the way. Amen. Most everyone wants to see Jesus, just as most everyone wants to see a rock star. And Jesus is a rock star. In his day, he was so compelling and charismatic that thousands flocked to hear him preach, to get close enough to perhaps touch the hem of his garment, to just stand in his presence, in his radiance. The Greeks who approached Philip that day are some of those people. "Sir," they say, "we wish to see Jesus." They're Gentile pilgrims who have come up to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And they're looking for something from this rock star. And truth be told, if I had been there that day, I would have been looking for something from this rock star too. Now, perhaps neither they nor I would find it easy to put into words what this desire is all about, but I can hazard a guess. Remember, Jesus had turned water into wine. He had healed the son of the royal official, the paralytic, the tormented man howling out in the tombs, and the woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. He had fed 5,000 and more with a few loaves of bread and a handful of fish. He had walked on water, calmed the tumult on the sea, and best of all, had raised Lazarus from the dead. And don't we all yearn for something of that? So we also ask, quite innocently, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," because we want to see the Jesus, the rock star, who's done all of that, who, fingers crossed and prayers ascending, just might do some of that for us. But when the request travels from our lips to Jesus' ears, he responds enigmatically. "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." That's his strange answer, his disappointing and troubling answer to all who want to see him, to the Greeks, to you, to me. It's startling. Really, Jesus is throwing us into the deep end and perhaps right off the cliff by making it clear that seeing him means seeing death. He shocks and disappoints us by telling us in no uncertain terms that to see him is not to look at all of these awesome things that he's done and said, the stuff that's made him a rock star. No, he teaches us that to see him means looking through the window of death. If we want to see him, we must learn to die just as he will die. And if we refuse to gaze through this awesome window, if we avoid and deny death, we also refuse to see the Jesus who matters, who is Savior, not rock star. And the most shocking, difficult piece of this lesson is that seeing Jesus means that we cannot be spectators. We must be participants in his life and in his death. And if this chills you to the bone, remember it comes from the lips of God's incarnate Son, now facing his imminent death, but also from the lips of a very ordinary flesh and blood human being who knows our human lot, who knows that all of life is about the thousand deaths a human being must experience. We lose a loved one, a precious relationship, a beloved home, a vocation, or some other integral piece of our identity. Our health falters, and we watch as opportunities and dreams shrivel. Sometimes we choose our losses and our deaths, and maybe those are easier. We change our names and our citizenship. We change our beliefs and our values, sometimes our denominations or our religious affiliations, all so that we can be more authentically who we are. And sometimes we have to struggle to change our attitudes because participating in the life of Jesus opens our eyes to those things which deny us the abundant life he comes to bring us. I'm talking about letting go of fear, of resentment and anger, regret and disappointment, guilt and shame, the need to be right, and the need for that constant applause of approval. In a multitude of ways and so many times over, we have had to die like that grain of wheat in order for new fruit to be born. So in the stillness of this place and this moment, I ask you to bring one of those deaths to mind, just one. Something you so dearly wished to hang on to, and yet something you had to surrender, and so found eventually with God's grace the courage to let it go. And in that act of remembering such a dark and difficult time in your life, that death, I think you will also recall how very clearly you saw Jesus, your Savior. Perhaps you saw and knew him better in that moment than any other moment of your life, before or since. You experienced then, in that letting go, a wide open space in your being, opening up, replete with good soil, which God used to grow new life in you. Do you really want to see Jesus? If you do, then go look for him in the dark and dusty places of your life where your life is most constricted or defended or insulated. Go to your basement, rummage through your attic. But I warn you, it's not for the faint of heart. This work of dying is difficult and agonizing. Or as Jesus put it, it is soul troubling, even when we choose it ourselves. But this is the week. If we dare to participate as faithful disciples and not look on as mere spectators, Holy Week can be the school where we learn to die. So let your grains of wheat fall from your tightly clenched hands and just surrender them to the good earth. Die to all in you that is not life, and then wait patiently and in hope. And you will see Jesus. Jesus, who was a single tiny grain of wheat, who died to become our bread of life. Amen.